Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFO Movies India Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Windsor Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Windsor Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to UFO Movies India Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. The company is represented by Mr. Rajesh Mishra, Executive Director and Group CEO of the company, and Mr. Ashish Malushte, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mishra for opening remarks, post which we can start the questions and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Greetings, everyone, and thank you all for joining our Q1 FY24 earnings call. Q1 FY24 commenced with movies like Bholaa and Dasra released on 30th March. While there was no major new releases for the first 2 weeks of April, the latter part of the month had some big budget Hindi movie releases like Kisi Ka Bhai Kisi Ki Jaan and PS2, followed by the sleeper hit Kerala Story and Zara Hatke Zara Bachke, and other significant movies like Transformers, The Flash, Adipurush, and Satya Prem Ki Katha in the subsequent months. Throughout the quarter, even while we observed signs of comeback from Hindi movies, regional movies like Bushard T-Shirt, Gujarati film Shri Raghupati, an Assamese film, Carry On Jatta 3, a Punjabi film, and Bhai Pan Bhari Deva, a Marathi film, continued to exhibit healthy performance. June proved to be a standout month for our business, with more film releases contributing to the best month for both theatrical and advertisement revenue in the quarter. Moreover, corporate advertising marked its best quarter since the post-pandemic period, although the underperformance of certain tentpole films such as Bholaa, Kisi Ka Bhai Kisi Ki Jaan, and Adipurush impacted advertisement revenue. Additionally, a couple of big films like Jawan and Maidaan got pushed forward, further affecting the advertisement revenues for the quarter. On the government advertisement front, we saw some traction in the advertisement revenues from Caravan, with one government campaign and one corporate campaign in Assam and Maharashtra. There are still some constraints in the government advertisement business. However, we are happy to say that our mobile talkies venture Caravan has executed a rate contract agreement for empanelment with the Central Bureau of Communications, Ministry of Information and Broadcasting. This was a much-awaited development, which had got delayed during the pandemic, and we expect business under this category going forward. Now turning to the headline numbers for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, our consolidated revenue stood at rupees 853 million compared to 884 million in Q4 FY23 and 906 million in Q1 FY23. EBITDA for Q1 FY24 was 163 million, a significant improvement compared to an EBITDA of 114 million in Q4 FY23 and 98 million in Q1 FY23. We are happy to share that we have achieved profit after tax for the first time since Q4 FY20, with a PAT of rupees 25 million in Q1 FY24 compared to a loss of rupees 11 million in Q4 FY23 and a loss of rupees 25 million in Q1 FY23. Regarding our consolidated fund position, the balance at the end of the quarter stood at rupees 808 million as of 30th June 2023. After considering outstanding debt, the company continues to maintain a net cash positive position as of June 30th, 2023. The strategic implementation of cost optimization measures has significantly improved our financial performance. Moreover, as we step into Q2 FY24 with movies like Mission Impossible, Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Rocky and Rani Ki Prem Kahani, coupled with the recent announcements of proposed strategic joint ventures with Cube Cinema Technologies Private Limited and an exciting lineup of upcoming films such as Jailer, Gadar 2, King of Kotha, Jawan, Shri Salar and Salar, we are confident about maintaining our upward trajectory in the coming quarters. Thank you for joining us today, and now I would like to open the floor to take your questions. My colleague, Mr. Ashish Maluste, CFO of UFO Movies, and I are looking forward to a productive and insightful discussion ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, yes. Hi. First of all, congratulations on turning positive and profit after tax. So my question is just regarding to that and the overall the revenue and margins outlook. So how do you feel about the year going ahead? You said you'll be continuing the trajectory, but so then what can one expect in terms of your growth and the margins, especially for the whole year?
So, as I said, we remain optimistic about the future, considering the lineup of films and the improving sentiments around the release of films. Lately, we have seen audiences coming back to the cinema with content-driven films like Zara Hatke, Zara Bachke, Satya Prem Ki Katha. Even the recently released Rockin' Rani Ki Prem Kahani has been getting very good reviews. Also, the Hollywood films, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Mission Impossible, they have seen good traction. So, overall, this is good news for the industry that audiences are wanting to come back to the cinemas, and that is very evident from the success of these films. And this will be a driver in our view, because our distributor revenue, our advertisement revenues are directly linked to the success of these films. So, we remain optimistic on this front.
Is it safe to say, given these new films ahead and the response you're already getting, is it safe to say that you'll be, giving the same kind of performance as you did in 23 over 22? So that kind of a jump which you saw last year.
Yes, I mean, to a large extent, we should be in a good position to grow the business of the company. This is a business which is largely driven, content driven, but The good part is that content lineup is very well positioned in the second and third quarter also, so which are traditionally good quarters for our business, and we expect to have good business over here, unless There is some surprises which happen in the market.
Okay. And in terms of the margins, like historically, it has always been high in double digits, but then recently you saw some negative, I'm pretty sure it was because of COVID and everything. And then last year you also like a single digit. So where do you expect them to be at the end of year? Can you go to double digits again?
So the one quick point is as regards the margin, structurally, there is no change that has happened now that we are back slowly on track to pre-COVID levels. So the way our margins used to be there in pre-COVID levels, we should be expecting a similar margins to slowly come back. Just to quickly explain to you, our margins primarily get the boost from the incremental advertisement revenue, because in incremental advertisement revenue in our case, as an excess of 50-60% EBITDA / PBT contribution. So if you actually I mean, this is just the first quarter where the performance is handsomely back, slowly on track. But over a period of time, if you compare our current year's performance with pre-COVID performance, you will see that all the revenue elements and corresponding cost elements would be moving more or less in the similar direction. So we are not expecting a major difference in margins, but for the margins to come back on the pre-COVID levels, we need to see the advertisement revenues to go back to the pre-COVID levels, and that's where the whole efforts are on. And with the positive sentiment around movies coming back in Hindi belt, which always existed in southern market whole of the last year, we are hopeful that the advertisers would also in the northern market start looking at this network, I mean not just our network but digital cinema networks more positively. That would add to our ad revenue, in turn our revenues, in turn our margins should be back on track.
Okay, okay. So the ad revenues will favor the margins, right? Got it, got it. Okay, okay. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Devesh Vakil from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, yeah. Hi. Hi, Devesh.
So, in the opening commentary, I just heard that we have entered into some rate contract for our Carvaan vehicles. So, can you throw some more light on it? Is it a confirmed order we got, or is the contract and agent when they want to do some campaign, they will use these rates to give us the advertising revenue? And the status of our government PSU advertisement, earlier we were about, I think, 30%. Recently, last quarter, I think we have come to 18% of the overall revenue. So, is there any traction there? Any comment or color would help. Thank you.
Sure. So our government revenue typically comes from three sources. One is central government, second is state government, and third is your public sector undertakings. All these three revenues get classified under government advertising. So as I mentioned, the central government advertising has been reduced by the government themselves. They have reduced the ad spend significantly as per their statements in the Lok Sabha also that they have given. However, the state governments across the country whom we keep engaging with, they have been advertising and we see upward movements over there. Also with public sector undertakings. As regards Carvaan business, we have been doing earlier also, but what we were missing was the empanelment of this media by the Central Bureau of Communications. The importance of this is that the CBC, what they do is they evaluate the medium, they put in the deliverables, and they run the process of tendering and rate price finding, and once that is done, they enter into a contract with the vendors that we will give you this business at these rates. So this is a rate contract. This is not an order that has been received by us, but this will help us in the future whenever we are in the process of procuring orders from a central or a state or any other entity. The rate has already been defined by the government and the deliverables are also factored in, outlined over there. So there are no further discussions regarding the rates and the deliverables, etc. This is a rate validation that gets done. So once the rate is fixed, like for our cinema business also, in the earlier stages, we had to get empaneled with the DAVP at that time, which is now Central Bureau of Communications. But once that rate is finalized, that rate is followed by the state bodies, the government bodies and all those things. So this was at a very advanced stage of getting empanelment prior to the COVID period. But once COVID struck, as you know, everything, the priorities changed for things. Cinemas were shut down, vans were shut down. But now we have got this rate contract, we have entered into that, and this will help us to procure business going forward from central, state, PSUs, whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's helpful. So, suppose CBC comes out with some particular campaign, we are also likely to get certain portion of that for that campaign in these vehicles also. So, do we need to do any capex to make them ready, or is it we can use these vehicles now as and when some order comes to us?
Yeah, so our vehicles are very much in place. So, in a way, any business which comes through CBC, or previously it was known as DAVP, some of us may know it as DAVP. Once a business gets allocated, as you rightly said, that then the allocation is done to various players, and we are one of those. I think they have approved 3 or 8 vendors, but we are one of the bigger ones. So once the business comes, we don't have to do any incremental capex. All that we have to do is we have to do incremental opex. Just to quickly tell you, in this quarter, this business line has generated revenue, and that was after our first time after our COVID. So, in the range of about over one crore of business was generated in this quarter. But this was business was before the empanelment was done. What it means is that we have to make efforts to get business, and even they have to make internal efforts to give business to us. Now, their effort gets substantially reduced because the entire medium of these caravans, not just us, but entire medium across the country is now approved by DAVP. So, the incremental expense that we have to do is only when they allocate a route. For example, this time we were given 3 states and 2 villages every day. It was a cycle of about 15 days, so 30 villages. So, we have to do the OPEX in relation to finalizing the route and putting the business in progress. But there is no CAPEX that we'll have to incur incrementally. Therefore, this what in the opening remarks we said is this is something which we are eagerly awaiting. And finally, we have got the empanelment. And just for quick reference, UFO's digital cinema empanelment was done in 2008.
Right. And typically, sir, compared to our in-cinema advertisement, this business is typically a better margin business for us, though it is very small right now, but eventually?
Not really. Digital cinema, as I mentioned, about anywhere between 55% to 65% incremental revenue fetching EBITDA stroke PBT margin. Hmm. This business would also be almost in the same range. Between 45% to 60%.
So, okay. In digital cinema, you don't have operating expenses which kick in for running the advertising. Here, the vans have to be operated, moved around, and all those things. There are manpower requirements are there. So, from that perspective, the margins also remain the same.
Right, sir. And what would be the number of vans running right now in a running condition with us, sir?
So right now we are facing monsoons, so at this time we are not having the vans running. So during this time we undertake our routine maintenance and servicing and all those things. And once the monsoons get over, we expect to get business on this. So we keep them in readiness for that. So 3 months do get affected for the caravan because it's an outdoor medium, it's a sundown show, and rains do affect it.
No, I understand, sir. Now, as in when, say, after rains, when another campaign comes, what is the number of vans we have which we will be able to put to use for this business?
So, for the 1.6 crores revenue that we generated in this quarter, primarily in the month of April alone, and partly in May, there were 13 vans which were put to use out of the 100 vans that we have.
All right. Thank you. I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the turnaround. So, So, Q-on-Q, the average number of minutes sold increased by 51% this time, but the ad revenue per screen for the same period increased by only roughly about 24%. So actually we were unable to figure out this gap. So can you please help here?
Yeah, so it's a very valid point that you've made. And firstly, before I answer your question, the positive side of it is, in spite of all these problems that we were facing while we were exiting out of COVID period, and more specifically for our company, because our company has dominance more in northern part of market than southern part of market, and we all know how the sentiments were around the movies in northern part of India whole of last year. Last 4 months it's slowly changing, which is good. So in spite of that, we were able to have the better minutes, number of minutes per sold were coming back on track very quickly. So in fact, when I say coming back on track, I'm comparing it with pre-COVID levels. So pre-COVID, yeah. If I see Q1 FY20, the number of minutes sold were 4.6. So 4.6 minutes sold per show, per screen. That's how it goes. And that 4.6 number in this quarter is standing at 4.2. Okay,
right.
So in other words, there's a 91% recovery there that we have.
Yes.
So your question would be, why is it that the realization has dropped? So realization
exactly.
Has dropped primarily. So it's simply a multiplication of number of shows that you sell, number of minutes you sell, and the rates at which you are selling. So when we are exiting the COVID period and slowly trying to get the business back on track, first of theatrical and then of advertisement, there was a strategic decision that we took that we will not hold on with the prices, but it is more important for us, when I say us, all of us, including other players in digital cinema, to get the advertisers' attention back on our medium. So out of over 1 lakh crore advertisement market that is there in India, the in-cinema advertisement spend, okay, even in pre-COVID was not in excess of 700 crores. And right now during COVID it dropped. But you all know that during COVID this advertisement market kept growing. So pre-COVID it was around 75,000 crores, post-COVID it was about 1 lakh crore. So what I'm trying to say is that the advertisers continue to spend while the in-cinema as a market completely was, it was near zero or zero for 2 years, they kept spending. So in a way, it was necessary for us to make conscious efforts to go back in their planning process, go back and remain re-engaged with them. And that needed us to bring down our pricing. You probably would see similar kind of a strategy with other players who are listed. And therefore, what you see as a drop in the overall realization is purely and purely because of reduction in the rates. Okay? And obviously, now that the sentiments are back on track, as our volumes are picking up, obviously the rates would also slowly start coming back on track.
Right, I understand. Yeah, actually this was necessary to bring back the attention to the industry. So, yeah, you also told that the rates should come back. So any guidance on the pace at which it shall come back? Because pre-COVID we did 150 crores of revenue. So will we be inching closer towards that number?
So we have always stayed away from giving any guidance on any revenue front or a profitability front, even in pre-COVID period, and we would continue that even now. All I'm trying to bring to your notice is that the things are really looking a lot better than last year, more on sentiment fronts. Now the sentiment, the positivity in the sentiment, how fast it translates into the advertisement business. For example, the positivity in sentiment very quickly translated into bettering our theatrical business. But whether it will be at the same pace or a faster pace for advertisement revenue is something which we'll have to wait and watch. We can certainly say that we are at a much stronger position as compared to last year on this front.
Right, understood. Just one more question about the ad share with the exhibitors. Earlier, pre-COVID, it used to be in the range of 30-35%, which surged to 60% in FY20, and now it is declining. So how is it going to trend in the coming years? Like, is it going to get back to that 30-35% range, or will it stabilize here itself?
So actually, you're absolutely right. This is a advertisement share, though it appears like a sharing of revenue. It has one component which is called minimum guarantee. So irrespective of revenue, we give a minimum guaranteed share to a theater, and in that sense, that's a fixed cost. So theoretically, if my revenue is zero, I'll have to still incur that cost, and therefore you will find revenue zero and still a sharing. But that's not a sharing. That's actually a minimum guaranteed payout. So what you currently see that as a sharing as a percentage of revenue is still higher. So maybe this quarter it's around 48%. And in pre-COVID period, that used to be in the range of 32%, 34%, 35%. And purely if you see the revenue comparison, once the revenue start going back on the pre-COVID levels, the minimum guaranteed payment would stay the same way for a long period till such time a threshold revenue is reached. And till such time, what happens is the gap, I mean the sharing percentage keeps dropping. Okay? And only beyond a threshold level, in a particular theater, if we have given a minimum guarantee of 10,000 and the sharing is 25%. So till such time I am between 10,000 and 40,000, you will find that the sharing percentage is very high. So assume it is moving from 15,000 in this quarter to say 35,000 next quarter, the sharing amount would remain the same, but revenue would go up. And it's a simple math, so therefore the sharing will go down. What I want to tell you is that once the revenue in this example exceeds 40,000 from that theater, then you will start paying more share. So to broadly answer your question, yes, directionally this sharing should go down.
As the revenue increases.
As the revenue increases. There would be some movements. I mean, it will not be at the same level of pre-COVID of 30-32%. It will be slightly higher because in the process, we would have given slightly higher minimum guarantees in some theaters. And that is with an anticipation that those theaters would do better for ad revenue. So over there, if the ad revenue goes up, surely this ratio would further go down from the higher levels.
All right, all right. Thanks a lot. I'll fall back in with you.
Thanks. Thanks, Arun.
Welcome.
Thank you. Next question comes from Amit Mahendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you. Sir, when do you expect the Cube JV to be operational? And if you could explain the overall strategy going forward for the JV, please.
Yes. So we have entered into an arrangement to, for two JVs. One is for mastering and content delivery, and one is for advertising. The rationale over here is that if you see the businesses of UFO and FU, they are pretty much identical in nature. So it makes eminent sense to enter into a JV and optimize on the costs on the mastering and content delivery front, and this will benefit not only the companies of UFO and Cube, but it will also be beneficial for the industry because they will be required to now interface more or less with one entity rather than multiple entities. And as regards the advertising is concerned, currently both UFO and Cube are selling their advertising independent of each other, but by pooling the advertising inventory of these into a joint venture, what it enables us to do is provide a greater reach to the advertiser. And typically if we see the bigger level of advertisers, the FMCGs and all, they look out for larger reach. And this is exactly what the JV will be able to provide them. Plus a JV with a single focus on improving the advertising will also look at various areas of evangelizing the medium, improving the advertiser experience, providing post-evaluation exercises, giving them more data-guided advise, helping them to maximize their impact of the content advertisement that they are doing. And this in turn will definitely lead to increase in the volumes as opposed to what the individual companies would do on a standalone basis. So essentially this is purely a cost, a revenue optimization exercise, and mastering JV is a cost optimization exercise. Ultimately both will benefit us because it will improve your EBITDA positions in these things and right. provide focus in these two areas itself.
Yes, sir, on the advertising side, apart from volumes, will it also effectively mean a slightly better pricing? Because if I understand it correctly, Cube and UFO probably were competing each other in you know, prior to the JV. So there could be some inherent price, you know, war, price discount in there that probably will get stopped with the JV. Is it a fair statement to make?
Ultimately, we were all selling our own screens, right? I was not selling Cube screens or Cube was not selling my screens. So there was no competition to that extent over there that an advertiser was not being approached for one common screen that way. But definitely we will provide a better value proposition to the advertiser, which will in turn, we are hopeful of give them a better return and give us also a better revenue from these screens.
Right, sir. And on the volume side, I mean, there would be some clients which are unique to UFO and some clients which are unique to Cube, probably. So to that extent, you know, once, you know, there's a JV which is talking to both clients, effectively the volumes will add up, you know, in a similar way. Is my understanding correct on that?
That is an astute observation, and this is definitely an upside that will happen in the JV. If a client has been exclusively on the UFO network, now there is no reason why he cannot be approached for the combined network, because the JV's mandate is to sell the combined network. So to this extent, yes, we are hopeful that we will be pulling each other's strengths and relationships to optimize the revenues for both the companies.
In fact, this would be one of the low-hanging fruits for the JV once it starts operationalizing.
All right, great, thanks. So I think I missed the first part probably. When is it going to be live in terms of revenue kicking in or, you know, on the ground, the JV operating? Which quarter will it be?
So right now, there are certain statutory things, approvals and all that are required, which we will be approaching the shareholders in the EGM that is scheduled on 8th, the company formations and all that are taking place. So we expect another 30 to 45 days before we can make the JVs operational. Having said that, the effect of the JVs will probably be seen in the second half of the year. So H2 would be start seeing the impact of these two JVs.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Vaibhav Bajaya from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Thanks for providing the opportunity. A couple of questions. Firstly, you know, I'm getting...
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, so I just have two or three questions. So in terms of rates, you know, advertising rates per minute or you know per 10 seconds or whatever, are they back to pre-COVID level or they're not back to pre-COVID level?
So should I answer this question and can we go one by one? Yeah, so the rates, in the previous question I answered that no, the rates are not back to pre-COVID levels. Second part okay. of that question was that the reason why we dropped it was because we wanted to get back the advertisers' attention to this medium. And third was that we had clarified is that the expectation is that with the sentiment becoming positive in the northern part of India around movies, we hope that the advertisers would continue their spend and that will help us to push our rates higher, and then special discounts or special lower rates which were offered immediately post COVID, we should be able to slowly bring them up.
Okay. I just needed a clarification. And secondly, so this because of this JV, in the sense that you know, a client who is looking for advertising in this on this medium anyway, earlier if he needed it, he could have gone to Cube and UFO separately, right? Obviously there will be some convenience to client in terms of entering into a single contract. But why would it enhance the volume, as you said in the earlier question? Because anyway, if somebody wanted advertising on the north side as well, he would have come to you.
Yeah. So basically, we have to see it in a manner that when both teams are combined together, our feet on the ground increases, our experience of selling the cinemas that we have accumulated over the 2 years in both the companies, that gets pulled together. The cinema advertising medium typically works on all India level, it works at state level, it works at hyper local level in the cities also. So in addition to national advertisers, there is a big volume of retail advertisers which is there. There is a big long tail of advertisers who would be available to advertising only at district level or state level. So feet on the ground and experiences and relationships pooled will increase the volume, as I had mentioned earlier also. And there are lot many clients at local level, brands which do not advertise on television because it entails a lot of wasteful expenditure for them. Because televisions will typically go all over the country and where they are not even selling their products. So they don't have a value proposition of advertising, and cinemas provide that very well. So this is where the bigger team size, more focused approach, more data-based research, analytics, better post-evaluations, better guidance and advice to the advertisers, helping them execute the campaigns, all this will drive up the volumes.
Okay, so let me ask another question. So in the sense, in before this JV and after this JV, what was there a flexibility to advertiser to choose his screen, and how it will change before after this JV? I mean, can an advertiser choose specific screen that this is the screen I want and this is the screen I don't want, and will it change post that JV?
Yeah, so the advertisers, I mean, advertiser is a king, and he always will remain the king. He will decide where he wants to advertise because he ultimately knows it better how to get the visibility for his products or services through a particular medium. So straightforward answer, yes, advertiser obviously needs to have this freedom, and he will have a freedom. What Rajesh explained and tried to make a point is that now one sales guy goes, in the past he had 100 screens, now we'll have, say, 200 screens. So his overall offering itself becomes stronger to an advertiser, and advertiser starts paying more attention to what he's trying to propose. But your question whether the advertiser can select which network, which screen he wants, which obviously he would exercise that right, and JV is there to offer the whole of the network, part of the network, and in the process, JV will try to certainly convince that advertiser that how, if he has chosen say only 20 out of 100, the JV now can make more focused and more impactful effort to tell him how from 20 he should move to say 60. Okay. In the past, when it was not a JV scenario, both the sales teams probably would have been fighting against each other in some cases. Now they will be talking only one language for the combined network for better good.
Okay, but and in terms of advertising rates, so it will, because you're saying it's screen by screen, advertiser can choose it. So this JV, will it have any impact on the rates also, or it will not have?
We tried to explain this in one of the previous questions that whether JV or no JV, as the volume goes up of any product, the pricing has a probability of moving up as the demand increases. What JV is going to do is JV will systematically be able to make efforts to drive the volume up. Okay. Now the volume goes up as more number of minutes get sold, which means less number of minutes are available for selling. It's a finite inventory at the end of the day. And that is where slowly the pricing would start going up. Currently it is more relevant because our prices really have come down, as I mentioned, because we wanted to deal with the post-COVID scenario. So yes, answer is...
What I wanted to understand was that see, there might be some screens which are very in a very common area, right? For both Cube and for you, and the rates might be different for both these. So if now if an advertiser comes to this JV and said that I want to advertise in both the screens, so for both the screens in the same area, will there be a different two rates, or you will give him one rate? Is what I'm trying to understand.
So typically the rates are decided by the quality of screen, the catchment area, the type of audience that frequents this screen. So it's not like a one size fits all formula that is applied normally. The advertiser will give weightage to the quality of screens which are there, and he is free to choose accordingly.
So there will be no standardization of rates as such for a similar screen and similar location.
Even if there is a generalization of rate, the weightage gets plugged in by the advertiser. So supposing he wants to advertise in one city, just to take a simple example, and there are 5 A plus category screens and there are some lower category screens. He will give weightage according to the quality of screens that are being put in the product mix for him.
Got it. Understand. And just so for the for you know, we know the numbers for ourselves, but for the Cube, what's the realization per screen, and what's the, because the JV will have all those numbers and we will have a equity stake in JV. So what would be the JV numbers is very important for us to understand. And that's why for Cube, what's the realization per screen and the numbers that we have? What could be the numbers for the Cube in terms of ad rates and advertising related numbers?
So broadly, you can assume that both of us are operating at almost the same level on a consolidated network level. So therefore, to answer your question is relatively easy, that what is going to be realization? Yes. Both for corporate and government segments, whatever realization we have, more or less, they would have. Probably last year, they would have had a better realization in corporate because movies were doing exceptionally good in South, even as compared to pre-COVID period. Okay, so they probably would have had better realization, and better realization, better volume, in turn, better revenue per screen. But in a normalized scenario, since both the networks are quite solid, strong, big, run by professional setups and have been in place for almost 1.5 decade in the country, the realization per spot or the revenue per screen at a network level would remain more or less same. This is what we can at least tell you at this very moment. Rest, how it pans out, we have to give some time for the JV to come in full force, start operating, and maybe a few quarters later, we can analyze quarter after quarter how the JV is making a difference in both volume and rates.
Okay, that's it for my section. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Nitin S. Dharmavat from Arum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, as we mentioned about the revenue stream from the government sector is from 3 sources: public sector, central government, and state government. So can you please give us this split amongst this three, pre-COVID and the current one?
Yeah, just give me a minute.
In terms of percentage, sir, it will do.
Unfortunately, I have absolute number. I can... well, right now, let me give you the absolute numbers.
Okay. No problem.
So, the total... And thank you very much for clarifying that the government segment, when we say it means three sub-segments, one is central government, one is state government, and third is PSU. So, in pre-COVID FY20, if I take, the total revenue was 51 crores from this segment, okay, which was split 20 crores from central, 18 crores from state, and 13 crores from PSU. So, central and state broadly were contributing 40% each, okay. But if I go a year before that, against this 51 crores revenue in FY19, which was one of the best years for us on revenue front, 112 crores was the revenue from overall government segment, of which 80 crore was from central government. So that constitutes around, if I'm correct, about 72-73% versus 40% in FY20. Okay. Now, this 116 crores of FY18, FY19, 112 crores of FY19, which moved down to 51 crores in FY20. If I take it in Q1 now, this year it is almost 4 crores, 3.8 crores. Of the 3.8 crores, 3.7 crores has come from state government. Central government has contributed just 10 lakhs.
Okay.
So this is the kind of massive shift that we have seen. The positive side here is, even after COVID, the teams have been able to get the revenues in a meaningful way from the state government subsegment. And that has contributed 4 crores or 3.7 crores is one quarter. If I just mathematically annualize, it's close to 14 crores and we were 18 crores in FY20 or 16 crores in FY19 from this segment. So I hope this gives you some flavor, and since I've given you absolute number, I think percentage is also broadly been communicated.
No, absolutely. This is helpful. Thank you so much. My question is, the second question is, do you see any trend in government revenue, especially from the central government, which is right now not coming to cinema, but is it across other mediums as well, the similar kind of thing, or is it that they have restricted cinema, or they have removed cinema right now, or is it applicable in other formats of advertisements where government advertises?
So, as I had mentioned, in a response to a query in the Lok Sabha also, they had highlighted that they have reduced their advertising spend from almost 1150 crores to around 115 crores, something like that. So virtually a 90% drop, they have said that they have done in the central government advertising from DAVP that is released. And this is pretty much across the mediums. It's not like only cinemas are being targeted, but television, print, across the mediums they have done this reduction. So this is a government level action, and we keep appealing and approaching the government and pitching our campaigns, but ultimately it's their call. Not much can be done in this. We are hopeful that they will resume advertising on this area, but nothing can be commented on that.
So the only positive side here is that the reduction is across all medium, and it's not that only digital cinema has been singled out. So when the spend resumes, which at some stage should, when I say we, the entire digital cinema fraternity would be beneficiary, and so would be your company.
Yeah, entire cinema industry.
Yeah.
Perfect. I got it. Thank you so much and wishing you best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Karan Mehta from Nizar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah,
am I audible? Yeah,
yes.
Thanks a lot, sir, for the opportunity. So I just have two questions. Firstly, how much improvement do we see from entering into the JV with Cube? And if you can give a broad range in terms of cost structure benefits and improvement in profitability growth, if you can give a broad range on this, how much benefits do we accrue from this JV? Secondly, we have seen good improvement in our profitability, mainly driven from improvement in cost structure. And in this regard, all our costs have decreased, especially VPF has decreased QOQ and YOY. So do we expect this to be sustainable, and can there be further reduction going forward?
So you have I'll split your question in two parts. One is JV related and one is the business profitability and cost related pertaining to UFO. So my request is JV related part. I'm not sure whether you were there in the earlier part of the discussion, but there was one question which was asked to us by Mr. Amit Mahendale. And at that point, exactly the question that you asked, except the cost part of it, where cost of JV part of it, were elaborately discussed in terms of benefits and why should there be benefits and how the volume can go up. So my request is, instead of repeating it, if you can just go through it on the earnings call transcript, it will be really helpful. And again, we'll connect back with you in case you have any questions. As regards the cost part of the post-JV scenario, there are two JVs. One is Ad JV and one is your content processing JV. In the advertisement JV, well, cost is not really that relevant driver. Cost would go up as the revenues would go up there. So there is nothing like significant cost optimization that is what we had in mind when we went into the JV. It's only the revenue optimization or revenue push is the sole objective of the advertisement JV. As regards content JV is concerned, yes, there were duplication between the two companies for carrying out similar kind of an activity. So therefore, once this JV is put in action, the cost optimizations on infrastructure, on assets would take place, but it won't be like immediate next quarter you will see cost savings. Obviously, over a period of time you will see it. But in the overall context of our balance sheet size, that cost optimization is not that significant. However, in the current scenario, any cost optimization is critical. Coming back to your question about our profitability of the current quarter, yes, the profitability has had a major support when we came back in profit. That had major support from the cost reductions that you are seeing. And yes, the cost reductions that you are seeing in certain key areas are not like one time, but those are more sustainable cost reductions which were achieved over a period of last almost 18 to 21 months of efforts, where we managed to get the cost down without really cutting the corners and without really disturbing the operations of the organization as it was coming back in pre-COVID business growth scenario.
Even the VPF is sustainable. VPF sharing is sustainable.
So VPF sharing is a very specific point that you asked. And yes, first answer is yes, it is sustainable. But you need to know why it is reduced. It is reduced because the VPF revenue has also gone down. So sharing remains almost the same in terms of percentage. But if the absolute revenue has gone down, your sharing would also go down. So therefore, this particular cost reduction in the line item of VPF sharing expense does not really tantamount to any profitability increase, because after revenue become OI or expense become
OI. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's it. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot, sir, for the clarification.
Sure. Thank you.
Next question comes from Harsh Patel from Alpha Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hi. You said the content is very promising from your own, but at the same time, there's a strike ongoing in Hollywood. So next year, you might not see movies like Oppenheimer and Barbie, or even Mission Impossible. So what do you make of that?
Thank you. That's good for us.
You're right, the strike is going on, but it's a temporary glitch from the Hollywood side. Hollywood content forms roughly around 15%, 10 to 15% of the content at the high-end multiplex levels. The rest of the country, the lower chains, they rely largely on the local and regional content. So while some impact will be there, the content would get delayed to some extent. But having said that, we don't really get VPF on Hollywood content. And theater footfalls get affected, surely, if the this will continue to get delayed. But this is a not a big item that we see. 85 to 90% of the content is from the local industry over here. And any gap in the Hollywood industry would also get filled in by the local industry. Good part that we are seeing in the last couple of years is that South content has started migrating to the North. We have put in a lot of efforts to promote this culture also. And what this typically means is, to give you, put things in perspective, the Bollywood industry, which is the Hindi film industry, roughly produces around 225 to 250 films a year. As compared to this, the South, Southern four languages produce around 900 films in a year. So even if I take a rate of hit or average hits of 1% from that 9 to 10 films, it almost doubles the number of tentpole films that become available for the entire country. So this healthy trend of films coming from the South to the North will be picking up the slack to a great extent. And again, Hollywood will come back. The strike has reached a proportion where they have to find a solution now. We don't see it lasting for a long time, and we are not overly concerned on that front.
But at the same time, in the beginning, Rajesh made a point, and we request you to keep note or take note of that. In earlier earning calls, we have discussed it at length. We, as UFO Network, does not receive CDC or VPF revenue when a Hollywood studio film gets released on our network. And therefore, if there are more such films, then there is some stress on our CDC revenue line, which to some extent gets compensated because the footfalls are there and therefore we get higher advertisement revenue. But in place of that Hollywood film in our network, if there is a regional or a Hindi film running, then we get both. We get VPF / CDC revenue as well as advertisement revenue. So this is one important point, very peculiar to our network, is something which we'll request you to take note of.
So if I was a high-end multiplex owner, I would be worried about this strike rather than UFO worrying about.
Correct. Very well put, sir. Okay. Very well put.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah,
please go ahead.
Can you speak a little louder? Because we can hardly hear.
Yeah, I can. I can. Is it better?
Much better. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my first question is, you know, if we look at our history in the past, the pre-COVID, we used to do around 30% plus margins. And given whatever that you explained during the call, the government advertising, you know, have kind of reduced that significantly. So for us to reach to that level, since that pie is not available, at least for the moment, you know, what is it that we need to, is it possible to go back to 30% kind of a margin with whatever cost-saving measures that we have taken? Can you elaborate on that?
What was the last time you said, possible to go back to 30% level?
Yeah, EBITDA level. So with all the cost-saving measures that we have taken, you know, considering that our government advertisement may not come back, is it possible to go back to those levels?
Answer is yes. Is it possible? Yes, certainly yes. Question is, if there is no government, theoretically, if there is no government advertisement revenue, of course, we explained that there are three sub-segments in government, but of that, central government spends is a major bit. If I understand you are saying, hypothetically, if that remains zero, then will we be able to go back to pre-COVID level of profitability? Answer is yes, but it would take time, because what would that mean is that whatever is a loss on account of not being able to get central government ad revenue need to be filled in by the other segments such as corporate or state government or PSUs. Or maybe the caravan which has got the empanelment recently. So yes, it certainly is possible. In fact, we have clocked in excess of 30% margins also, but I don't want to be sounding excessively bullish here on the margin front, but that, those have been the periods and it entirely is driven by the ad revenue. So yes, central government taking a pause, which we believe is a temporary pause in spends, is a problem for us also to get back our margins back to pre-COVID or FY19 or FY20 levels, or maybe FY19 levels to be more specific. Okay. So hopefully they would start spending, and if not, then we'll have to give a little longer period for the business to go back to those levels.
Okay, got it. Second thing, sir, you mentioned that pre-COVID, the entire, you know, theater advertising industry was around 700 crores. So between
how
you
much
and
you,
700, right?
700.
So, so between you and Cube, what would be the market share you would be commanding?
So, I told you 700 could be slightly higher because the key multiplexes, I think, were at close to 350, if I'm correct, pre-COVID. And we would be, both of us put together, would be another 250. So, so it's around 700 only. So of that 700, both of us individually, well, Cube's numbers are not in public domain. But yes, both of us put together would be close to 40% of this overall share. Now, we don't intend, nowhere we are saying that we will move from 40% to 80%. The critical part here is that 700 crores or 750 crores is expected to significantly grow. If we have not taken any other assumption, if 70,000 crores of ad industry moved to 110,000 crores in India in 3.5 years, then naturally at least that much of growth could have been seen in our segment. But because of COVID, this was closed, so nobody spent here. So our efforts, when I say our, the entire cinema industry's efforts is to get that back to the 700, which hopefully we'll get back sooner, but move up from there and claim at least the same share which we used to claim or command in pre-COVID scenario.
Right, sir. The reason I'm asking this question is that, you know, so in all, you also mentioned that the rates are much below pre-COVID and it was a conscious decision from your side to ensure that the industry gets its fair share. But considering that the rates typically in media industry are quite sticky and, you know, it takes time for it to recoup, does it mean that our volumes have to grow substantially higher? And is that a likely scenario? Let's say we are clocking 4.5, 4.2, 4.5, you know, minutes per screen per show. Is that number can go up substantially? How will it move significantly higher than 700 crore? If you can...
Yeah, I mean, you have made a very important point that whether the rates would come back. But the second part of your statement where you said in the media industry, the rates are very sticky and they generally don't move up is something which where probably will have a little this difference of opinion. I mean, I'm giving you an extreme example of how a power of media, for example, IPL. I mean, I'm nowhere saying that we want to compare ourselves with IPL, but we are in a way an impact medium. And IPL rates you would see would never see this kind of a problem. They would keep going up and they have been going up. So the point which I was we were trying to make is all of us have dropped our rates strategically. Maybe somebody would say even if without dropping rate you could have got the business. Answer is yes. But that was a strategy which was implemented in a way by all the players in this industry independently, and the objective was to get some share back. And therefore, we don't see challenges going back to that rate, because that was in any case established for a long period of time. And the rates, when we were offering lower, there was also a reason that the footfalls, one, the footfalls were lower in the theaters. Second, the anticipation by the advertisers about the footfalls was very negative. Even if in some cases the footfalls were there, they were not ready to agree. Now, when I say that the perception is changing, this is where the perception changes. And therefore, I don't think, since the medium is well understood by the advertisers as an impact medium, I don't think giving that kind of a rates which were prevailing in pre-COVID, giving those rates again is a challenge. It's a process, it's a time bound, I mean, there will be a time involved for us to go back to that level. But on getting those rates back is not a challenge. How it goes beyond that is a different discussion which we should do maybe a couple of quarters down the line when the JV is fully operational. Not just quarters, maybe a year down the line.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Thank you. That would be the last question for the day. Now, I hand over the floor to Mr. Tushar for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, we would like to thank the management of UFO Movies and the participants. Good day.
Thank you, Tushar, and thank you everyone for joining in.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.